On August 11th, 1985, Sunday, I preached a sermon, and the sermon was entitled Persons of Spirit. What I tried to do in this morning's worship service was to define what the Holy Spirit of Christ does in the person of the believer. If you are a Christian, you are a person of spirit, a person that is under the control of the Holy Spirit, and therefore you live in a certain kind of way. I trust that you will enjoy this sermon.
Amen, amen. Rest. Rest. Rest from toil, but not rest from joy. Rest from people buffeting us, but not rest from doing the work of the Savior. Rest from being laughed at, but not rest from rejoicing in my Christ. Amen. Amen. I love the Lord.
Amen.
He's so good. Amen. Romans chapter 15, verses 8 through 13 this morning. Romans 15, 8 through 13. I love the Lord because he said there remaineth the rest for the children of God. And that rest only comes after the battle has been fought. And how do you know that you're engaged in a battle unless there's some conflict?
Amen.
So when the conflict comes your way, what did the blessed apostle say? Think it not strange that these fiery trials should come upon you as some strange thing is happening.
Yes.
Amen. Romans 15, the beloved apostle Paul, beginning with verse 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers.
Amen.
Glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, for this cause I will confess thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people.
And
again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Let us all read verse 13 together. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. We abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you this morning. Amen. Lord, we continue to worship you as we go into the Word. Lord, we understand that as we open our Bibles that you speak to us. Lord, we also understand that there are some in this room that do not know you. But Lord, we do not limit you to that, for we know that you love them like you love us.
Yes.
And Lord, what we pray as we pray this morning to you, that you might influence them, that they may see you in the Word.
Yes,
bless us as we open the Word in the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It is always good to be in the house of God to worship the Lord. And as we come here to the house of the Lord, and the singing relatively is over, and the devotional part of our service is over. I want to admonish you not to get into the habit of falling asleep. This is the most important part of the service, is when the Word of God is administered. You know, the choir is exciting and everybody claps their hands and they get all involved in this. But now he's going to preach the Word. Now it's time for me to catch up on a few winks that I missed last night. Well, it's not my fault you didn't go to bed at 8:30. It's not my fault that you stayed up late last night watching all the late shows. So please, I admonish you to stay awake. Because in staying awake, God can talk to you. In staying awake, he can have something to do with your spirit, man. The subject of today's sermon is persons of spirit. Persons of spirit are, in another way, vessels of God's power. That's what Christians are. We are persons of spirit. We are people that God has moved inside of. Since he is moved inside of us, he moves us. Are you a person of spirit? Now you can answer that question, because if you are not a person of spirit, have heart, you can become that today. You can become a person of spirit within 5 minutes while I'm preaching. You can become a person of spirit within 15 seconds after I begin this sermon. You can become a person of spirit now, and I'm going to tell you how. I'm not going to save the invitation to the last, because during the whole sermon is an invitation from God to you. This is how you do it. You take what you hear this morning. You apply it to yourself. You put self behind you and say, God, I've been too long halting between two opinions. Amen. You recognize that God wants to speak with your spirit person this morning, and he can if you allow him to. You recognize that the preacher can do nothing. The work has already been done on Calvary, that all the preacher does is expound the word of God to you, and so that you can become a part of this service. The main part of this sermon this morning is taken from verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. That gives me goosebumps, because I'm telling you that when I talk about the power of the Holy Spirit through believing is what gives me life as a Christian. Yes. That he might fill us with his joy, with his peace, and believing we shall have a hope. And all of this is through the power of the Holy Spirit. That makes us persons of spirit. Amen. What does not make us persons of spirit is our attendance. You can come faithfully and die and know not God. Amen. I want to tell you about something. There was something that I was reading as I was looking in preparation for this. And we're in the middle of a summer here in Los Angeles. And thank God it's not that warm, but you know that the sun is out. But what I'd like you to do is to forget the summer and go in your mind's eye to the deadness of winter. You're in the mountain country. Some on the other part of town calls it God's country. Nothing but where you have mountains and snow. Envision yourself now, church, walking up through the mountains, and you see two cabins in the heat of winter. And on one cabin, you see the roof of the cabin packed down with snow and ice. And here you are walking in this mountain plains looking for a place of shelter. One cabin is packed down with ice and snow. You see right next to it another cabin, and it has just a little snow on the top of it. Now that gives you an indication that there is heat in one house. In one house, it has heat because there's not too much snow. The heat from the house melts the snow off the roof. The other house is packed with snow, no light, no sign of life. You are a weary wanderer in the snow. You must make a choice which cabin to go to. We don't have to deduce much, do we, church? You're going to the cabin that shows you a signal that there is some heat in the house. Yes, sir. Yes. You are going to the cabinet or the cabin that does not have much snow on the roof. In the row of cottages of snow, we can determine which one is warm. And I'm saying, church, this morning that you can determine a warm church in the very same sense. Has your heart been frozen with the icicles of life? Or can people see in you a person of spirit, a warm body? You see, you cannot get out of a church what is not in it. And my premise by saying that is that if the Holy Spirit is in you, it warm, it illuminates you. You're exciting. You're excited about the message. You're leaving. You're spreading it. People come to Christ. The reservoir itself must be filled before it can put forth a stream. Think of it. In our city, it's called the Silver Lake Reservoir. And if you go in the northern part of Los Angeles, you have to go up a while because it's kind of up in the hills. And I'll never forget when they drained the reservoir, and it took them at least 2 or 3 weeks to refill it. But you would never go to a reservoir to get water if it were empty. Let's say that someone says, oh no, don't build a home in Baldwin Hills. The reservoir is up there. But I would tell you, that reservoir holds no fear for me. It's empty. It burst a few years ago. The reservoir is dead. And I'm telling you, saints, that some of us are like empty reservoirs. God wants to fill other people, but he can't fill them because we haven't been filled. Amen. We must ourselves drink of the living water till we are full, and then out of our midst flows life. Do you see that? You must be filled before others can be filled. Now listen, I'm going to say this and I'm going to be just right up front about it. You don't base your feeling on how filled your preacher is.
No.
You don't base your feeling on how spirit-filled the ministries of your church are. You base your feelings on a personal relationship. God has filled me. He has commissioned me to become the filling station for an empty world. You cannot give out food from empty baskets. You cannot give out food from empty baskets, no matter how hungry people are around you. People are starving spiritually around you. You can't give them anything if you haven't been filled.